Do you like
the podcast world better than the YouTube world?
You mean like in terms of like me making podcasts or listening to them? Like, what do you mean?
From a creative standpoint, like the outlet of a podcast versus the outlet of making a video.
By the way, if I could just jump right in here, welcome to the show, everybody. We're talking with Frank James. Continue.
Yeah. Hi. Welcome, everyone. No, when it comes to like making stuff, I prefer just, you know, videos and YouTube. I mean, I like podcasts. I think it's interesting to have a conversation with people and to get into, you know, to talk about the, especially when you're talking to other people who do the same thing, who do YouTube, it's interesting to talk to them about that because we're all so isolated doing our own thing. But ultimately, the ability to just go into a room and do my own thing for a video, it's more my speed. And yeah, but I don't know, maybe if the podcast I'm doing, if that were to pop off, maybe my mind would change. I don't know.
So you've been doing it for a while. I was kind of surprised to see that your podcast actually started in like 2018.
Yeah, when I was, you know, starting off as a YouTuber, it's like you have an audience and some of them are like, you should start a podcast. So I get like 3 comments that say, you should do a podcast. And I'm like, I will. Let's go. And at first it was just, you know, me doing like longer form thoughts that I didn't really think would work on the channel or, well, yeah, it was mostly just, you know, if it was like a 20 minute thing, 15 to 20 minute dive into something I was thinking about that didn't quite fit the video format. Plus it's when you're, and it was audio only when I did that. So you can edit a lot more. You could edit, you know, every word if you wanted to. So it was just a lot more control over the message going out. And then in 2019, I started to interview a few people, but it wasn't very enjoyable because I just didn't know what I was doing. And then I kind of rebooted it this year and I feel a lot more comfortable with it and the way I'm going about hosting it. So that, and I don't know how long this season of it will go. Like, I've interviewed, I don't know, 10 people now, including Chad here. But I have a lot of them in the can right now. And it's just like, now I have to, like, even if I don't edit, it's like, now I have to export, I have to, upload this. So yeah, that's the only drawback is the extra packaging time, you know.
Do you find, I noticed you're not using the YouTube podcasting kind of, now they ask you, hey, upload your podcast videos onto YouTube. Is that further to your earlier comment of just like, oh, more stuff to do that you haven't gotten around to do that? Or do you the audio only thing?
Is that beyond just like the ticking the box? Like you make a playlist and then you say, this is a podcast.
Basically, that's all it is. It's just a playlist, except YouTube, what they're saying is that they have bigger plans for that. So they're incorporating into as part of YouTube Music. And so it's going to be, they want it to be like a default place where just people listen to podcasts. And I think that they are, they're actively pursuing that right now.
Yeah. Well, that's smart. I mean, I do mark it as a podcast. I do put it in a playlist. Maybe, that was something I did later on since you first checked, Chad, unless we're talking about two different things. I don't know, but and then I also upload the audio version to, you know, the various places where podcasts can be listened to. So
what about finding the balance between doing that and also doing, you know, the other stuff, doing YouTube videos and putting that out and seemingly doing it all yourself?
Yeah. The balance is basically YouTube comes first. And then if I have time and if I can get someone to respond to my emails than I will to an interview. I mean, it's so like it's so ego slapping to send out emails to people who you think are totally. Like your equals on YouTube, and they just deafening silence.
They don't do it. You get nothing way more often than you get a no. Very few people actually just respond, say thank you, but no. Usually if it's a no, they just don't respond at all.
Yeah. Which, you know, it's like we all get a lot of emails, and so we get it to a degree. It's like, you know, people bother me, whatever. But when you see that it's another creator, I don't know how you just like ignore it. Now, I know that for one of my guests was like, oh, yeah, I missed your email for a while because it was in my spam folder. So I'm like, okay, so am I just going to spam? I don't know. But
I always think that's an excuse people use. It's not true.
Sorry, what the spam, man?
Yeah.
I mean, that's entirely possible. It might have just been, you know, covering. But there's one guy who I've been trying to get for like not even on a podcast, just like someone I wanted to talk to and say hi. Because before I was doing the podcast, I would just email people and be like, hey, you want to talk about YouTube? And it's been like five emails. It gets to the point where I know I'm being annoying, but it's like, hey, and then I'm like, do I acknowledge that I've sent emails before, or do I just pretend I've never sent an email right. before? Like, what's creepier, to be like, I've been trying to get a hold of you for 2 years now and you're not responding?
Oh, I've totally done the same thing. And then you start to like, well, maybe they just don't do email, so maybe I better DM them, and maybe I better. And so you try to follow them on all their platforms and try to get a hold of them that way. And you're like, well, now at this point, I'm just stalking.
Yeah. I just sent you a letter. I've tracked down your address and
tried to reach you on DM, Twitter. I found you on Instagram. Found your private account on Instagram.
Yeah. So that's. But to go back to the original question of like, how do I balance it? It's really like when I like literally when someone responds, and I'm only reaching out to a few people, like I'm not, it's not like got to have another episode. Who am I going to talk to this time? It's sort of like, this person seems interesting. I want to talk to them. So I'll just record it and say it's a podcast. And it's been, you know, and sometimes there's like a referral system, you know, I'll talk to one person and they'll say, oh, this other YouTuber I know would be good. And then that gets set up very quickly. But like right now I'm in a space where I haven't done one in a few weeks just because there hasn't been anyone that I've been interested in talking to who I think would respond.
I really think this is the podcasting dilemma. And this is something that Chad and I have faced for a long time, is that it definitely cuts into your day job if you really want to do it right. And the reason why YouTube is so huge is because of the monetization factor. You know, there's always that incentive for, well, if I keep posting more, I can earn some more money. On podcasting, unless you're top tier, you're not going to be making much money, if any, off of podcasting. So it just strictly is a labor of love. And then it just becomes this balance. Well, yeah, I love doing this, but I also have to spend time on my day job. And you're right. It just takes time. Editing, researching guests, the interview, everything.
Yeah. And I don't even edit or research guests, and it still takes too much time. So
you don't do any editing?
No, I did. So on one video I interviewed Andrew Hales, who is a longtime YouTuber, and we talked for a long time, and I could just tell during the conversation that there were a lot of tangents that could just be cut, and it would be a much tighter listen. So I handed that off to my friend Kevin, who edits for me for YouTube videos. I'm like, hey, here's a podcast. Just listen to it once. Any boring parts, cut it out. But other than that, no, I just kind of like, if in the moment the conversation seems good enough, then I just release it as is, because part of it is like getting over the perfectionism. The podcast in many ways has been a exercise in that, because I have perfectionist tendencies. I feel like a lot of creative people do. And so I just didn't even do the podcast and several other projects that I wanted to do for a long time, because I didn't want to get started and face all the obstacles. And then my buddy Greg Guevara, whose channel JReg.
Oh, sure. We know Greg well.
Yeah, yeah. He and I were talking about something. We're talking about I don't know if he's done it yet, but he wanted to start a coaching business to coach artists, young artists, to encourage them, kick their butt a little bit. And he was like, yeah, I just don't know how to talk about it. And I'm like, okay, let's do a podcast. Let's do an interview. And so that was the reason to do it. And he was like, you just need to post this as is. Don't edit it. Just post it. Doesn't matter. Cause that was his whole mantra to artists in general is no one cares. Just put it out there. Just put the stuff out there. So that's kind of been what I've done with the podcast and why I don't do much in terms of trying to make it polished as of right now. I'm sure at some point, if it were to gain more traction, I might put more effort into it, but I'm big in general into effort matching results. So if the, results are not going to be that high, it's put in the minimal effort,
For your regular YouTube content, how much effort goes into that component now? What does it look like to make a Frank James video at this point?
It varies depending on what it is, because I have different, kind of different series and then different things I try out. And some of them, so I'm trying to think of specifics. So there's one series I have that's normal girlfriend versus the Myers-Briggs type girlfriend. And that one is relatively low effort and relatively high return. The series that made my channel blow up is 16 Personalities, which shows all 16. And that is moderate to high effort and used to be high return, but that's kind of lowered over time. So I only put effort in, I only really make those videos, the 16 Personalities videos now, when it's I've got a great idea that's going to flow with minimal effort. I'm not going to be grinding on the script and grinding on the filming, which doesn't necessarily mean that it's low quality. It just means if an idea is good enough, it's going to write itself. If it's funny, if the script is funny enough, then I don't have to come up with a bunch of, acting stuff. And so that is pick and choose your effort. And then occasionally I do higher effort things, even when I know it's not going to do much, because that's just fun to me to kind of try new things and do things I've never done before. And I guess it's when you're realistic about the return, then you can go into it, into the production, preparing yourself for the effort versus return on it. Monday I released a video called Misfit Superhero Support Group that is outside of my normal stuff, and it's longer. It's funny, but it's not a sketch exactly. And I knew it wasn't going to perform well initially, but I'm like, I just want to make this. And I feel like this would be, a fun creative thing to do. So I put a little more effort into it than I would for a lot of other things. And it was, a 10 out of 10 in YouTube studio.
Isn't that the case? Something like that. I've had videos that are I'm passionate about.
Yeah.
And then I spend so much time and they're so well done. And then they just tank.
Yeah.
You get pigeonholed, I guess.
Yeah. It's
that
true,
means the
yeah.
system's working, doesn't it? That's what I've come to kind of also realize that especially because you said you knew it was going to be at a 10 out of 10. So when it was a 10 out of 10, it was fine. You almost set yourself, because you understand you have content buckets and you have to do the things that appeal to whatever, but you're also doing the thing that appeals to you. You said yourself, it's fun to do this type of content. And that fuels the other content. So I mean, obviously it all ends up making sense. Have you noticed a lowering of the view totals just in general drastically over the past few months with your content?
With with like across the board for everything. Well, for me in particular, it's gone up a bit over the last like 2 months, but over the past year, over 2023, it's been a dramatic slide downwards. So
I'm hearing that more and more from a lot of creators.
Yeah, I think what happened, like, right, so I'm never, the disclaimer going into it is I'm never the creator who's like, the algorithm's effing me up, man. So, but there is an algorithm and it does change and it's like, okay, well, what's going on now? But I feel like when Shorts got monetized in February, something changed and views slid, not just for me, but for a lot of other people. And I don't know, I don't think it's intentional on YouTube, because why would they want to just ding a bunch of people? But I can't figure out exactly how to get back into the good graces of the algorithm.
I'm with you, man. I'm at a point where it's just, I'm so frustrated with it. And I think that every time I look at that, you know, 1 out of 10 scale they give you on every video, it's just so demoralizing, and especially when you're like, oh great, it's another 7 or 8. Well, this last one I posted is just a solid 10. I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. The problem with analytics is it's always about like different unique videos. And when you're putting like, how are you supposed to like compare this video to this video? So comparing the last 10 just because they happen to be uploaded within a certain amount of time is just disingenuous to begin with.
It's just, I see. My first thought is, well, it's just because people don't like me.
Yeah, well, exactly.
There's also that, Steve. You're also doing.
I mean, it really
that.
Is sort of a lot of a big component of that.
We have also talked about like it's also just like perhaps we're getting down to more normalized numbers. Like, because you were talking about the Misfit Superhero Support Group, and in one day it's got 22,000 views. And as much as that, hey, that does not compare to me being able to do this type of video and getting this. Like, it says a lot that you're in a position where you can do something which is fun and then maybe acknowledge that. Or do you look at that as 10 out of 10, I got to do something else?
Yeah. Well, for that one in particular, I knew it was not going to do well at first. And I mean, it's not apparent that it will do well ever, but I was, you know, prepared for that. And I have, you know, other follow-up ideas to go back to my niche. So it's sort of like one for me, one for you kind of thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of my videos, even though views in general are down, it seems like videos that end up being successful are not, it's not even the same timing as it used to be. There's like a longer tail of views than it used to be.
That's true.
So so it used, like a year or two ago, a video, if it was going to be successful, would get like 80,000 in 24 hours. And now it'll get like 40,000 in 24 hours and won't hit 80 for, you know, a week or two. But then I'll check in 3 or 4 months and it's steadily, you know, gotten to the point where it would have been a couple years ago, but after 2 weeks. But now it's 2 months or 6 months or whatever. And, you know, I'll take that. It would be a lot. It would feel more secure if it was right away. Because you know, because now it's like, I don't know what's good or not. And then the other part of it is like the videos now that take off the fastest for me also hit a wall. Like they don't, those are the ones that have, it's either like long tail or short tail. It's not blow up and keep going for some reason. It's like blow up and stop or start off slow and maybe, you know, gain views or not. Like it's very confusing now. It's a lot different than it was.
Is everybody just watching Mr. Beast or something? Because I hear this from so many people that the views are down. It's like, well, are people not as many people watching YouTube in general, or are they just not spending as much time on the platform? Or where are the views going?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe they're going off of YouTube, but I don't know, because,
or maybe just like newer creators or something. Maybe I know YouTube was trying to help out like the startup channels. And so maybe that people are just, I know I'm discovering new channels all the time. So
yeah. Yeah. That could be what it is. Like, I don't know. Or maybe there's so for me in particular, and it's interesting to hear that you guys are going through the same thing, because we're in dramatically different niches.
All three of us, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, for comedy that is short form already, I had just assumed when Shorts got monetized in February and YouTube started pushing them. And even before that, when shorts were becoming more and more popular, that's where comedy should go now. And so if you are over 1 minute, but you're like under 10 minutes or whatever, you're like in a no man's land where YouTube really doesn't know what to do with you. Or maybe even it's just the audience doesn't know what to do with you. Like, if, you know, maybe the audience now is just like, yeah, it's funnier to watch videos that are a minute long on shorts. I don't want to like go, I don't want to scroll regular videos and watch comedy. Like, that's kind of, and I've seen other comedy channels take a hit on their long form videos. And I've talked to people who work on bigger channels, bigger comedy channels than mine, much bigger, that have seen the same thing, where their, you know, 3 minute, 4 minute comedy videos have not performed as well as they did this time last year, whereas shorts, you know, are performing as
I see some of these comedy channels, including yourself, posting. We coined an expression, the short long. So it's it's the long regular format video, but under a minute long. So it's not appearing in the shorts, you know, feed, or you're not scrolling to get it. I think you had Man Carrying Thing on your podcast, and that's what he does.
Yeah, he, I mean, the short as a, wait, so let's back up. Let me make sure I'm understanding. So when you take a long form video and make it a short, that's
well,
what
no,
I mean?
You make the video in a horizontal format, basically, but it's under a minute long. So it doesn't
It's deliberately
show,
a video, not a short.
Gotcha.
A
yeah.
It's under a minute.
It's a short long.
those are doing well also.
And you kind of get monetized a little bit better for that, I would imagine.
Oh yeah, I feel like shorts, it's like, you know, you get $100 for a million views. So it's I don't even see the point of doing that. And so the shorter comedy stuff does, and I don't know if that's the solution. And I'm actually doing kind of the opposite, where I'm like, I'm going to make longer comedy videos and see what that does. Because in the past, you know, with the format of the 16 personalities, by necessity, I had to make some of them longer because it's like 16 different characters, and sometimes they're in these complicated situations. And those a lot of times did better. And I'm like, okay, well, I got people to watch longer. I guess that's why. So I think it's a matter of getting out of the no man's land, whether that's like going down to be under a minute but still stay in the horizontal format, or go longer, go 8-10 minutes and see if you can keep people's attention that long. But it's tough because people who are used to doing like real sketch comedy, that doesn't lend itself to be 10 minutes long. So I don't know what the solution is there. I mean, I know YouTube probably wants us to just go to shorts, but that's no way to live, you know.
Is it fair to say you're doing what you want at this point? Like, the content that I'm putting out is the content that I think I want to make, and like, this is it, regardless of where everybody else seems to be going. This is my North Star.
Well, I'm getting there. I think I've had, in the last 6 months, I had kind of a, maybe not even in the last 3 months, I've had kind of a moment of transformation, a crossroads, if you will, where I just started to feel like, why am I even making this stuff anymore? And so in the recent weeks, I've been building up the courage to do more and more stuff that I'm just like, I want to do this, and I'll just take the hit and I'll get the crap kicked out of me, you know, figuratively, with views being low, and just see where that goes, because it's not sustainable. Because it was like, I was making videos for a long time that, you know, I had fun making them, but it wasn't like I'm passionate about it, but the views were there. So it was like, it all works out. I'm happy.
Totally
doing
hear
this.
You, man. Totally hear
yeah.
you.
Yeah. So now it's like, I'm making the videos that I thought the audience wanted to see, but they don't watch. And so then I'm like, well, what am I doing out here? Like, this is pointless. So, so that's kind of, it's taken courage to do it, because it doesn't feel good to get 10, mm-hmm. 10 out of 10s in a row, which is kind of what was happening to me for a while. And it's only like slowly kind of started to build back up. But the biggest thing, I think, is just having the courage to be yourself out there and to do your thing. Ask yourself, like, what can I bring to YouTube? What do I have that maybe not a lot of other people have now let me just put everything all in on that, because that's the only thing that could work.
It's made the smaller view totals a lot easier to digest, because you're like, at least I'm doing the stuff that I like, and still 20,000 people enjoyed it, and 3,000 people liked it, and hundreds of comments, and so.
Yeah, and it's hard to keep perspective and be like, that's still a lot, and years ago that would have blown me away. So, it's funny how you get used to a certain number on the screen, and then when that goes down, you're like, no, even if it's still a high number.
It is, yeah, because you can't help but look at that and you compare it to like number of subscribers you have, and then and basically that's the only analytic I look at is that top 10. I mean, I really don't deep dive into analytics. And so I'm like, oh, well, it's 8 out of 10. This thing sucks. You know, maybe I'll click through that first screen and just see the graph that shows that it's not meeting up to your average graph.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, this video is underperforming. Viewers are choosing not to watch it. It says something like that. I'm like, yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Over the course of this podcast, we've actually both had the trajectory of going from like people who are like so into analytics. We used to like make whole episodes about like, oh, let's deep dive into our analytics and make an episode about like talking about like detailed statistics and percentages. And you know what, man? I think it is like a like just like an epiphany, or like there's this moment where you're just like, wait a minute, they're all here just to see what I would make if I were just to like be making something.
Yeah.
And in our space, I realized that all of the videos that we started making and have been making for probably years, safely years now, were to fill another, like it started out because we were trying to make videos. Then the videos became an excuse to be a call to action or a sponsored video, or even if it wasn't a sponsored video, what do we want to get out of this? Or even you're like curbing what you want to do because it's like, oh, this is the thing that'll work for the audience. Or this is, and you're just like still slightly swaying that full creative.
Yeah.
And I think you just need to be, like you said, you need to be brave enough to be like, I will accept whoever dislikes who I am, but at least, you know, it's who I am. At least I'm not trying to get views and not getting views being someone else.
I think it's just, it's hard not to take it personally.
I agree, yeah.
It really is.
Well, it's embarrassing when you post a video and it doesn't do well. And especially what you said about the subscriber, like,
because you know people are looking at those numbers.
Yeah, it's like, great, I have a video that topped out at 25K. I have 1.2 million subscribers. What does that say about me, you know?
Yeah.
So, and then you look at like the big YouTubers where it's like they can post literally whatever and get millions of people to show up. And it's like, why don't I have that? Why don't people show up just because I posted? And it does make it like when the YouTube studio says your audience isn't showing as much interest as usual, it reads as everyone hates you.
Yeah, you suck.
Like, give up. Yeah,
so true.
Yeah,
it's so true.
But about really quick on the rankings is that I do like, if you go into the studio app, you can go to like old videos and see where they rank now, like even a year later compared. So even though when it first released, it might've been a 10 out of 10, you can go back and see other ones and say, oh, this is actually now like a 4 out of 10, which I think is, it's good to go back and do that every once in a while and see how the initial panic maybe wasn't warranted, but sometimes it was. So.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not trying to throw these guys under the bridge or anything, but you know Smosh and how
I mean, I know of them. I haven't really watched any of their stuff,
though. Okay, so they kind of like rebooted their channel after buying it back. It was a whole thing, and it was very exciting, and everybody was like, yes, they're getting back to their roots of comedy, just the two guys. And initially, so many people watch it, trending, everything. Immediately after that initial burst, now you can look at their videos and the views are going down each time. And I'm not trying to gain any kind of like glee out of that or anything, but I think it sort of shows that maybe there's times when what you have is sort of lightning in a bottle, and that's what they had years ago. And if you try to recreate that initially, people might be, oh, it's nostalgic, I like this, but it's not really where comedy is today. And I think comedy on YouTube today is much different than it was 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah. And 10 years ago, comedy was the thing. Like, that's mm-hmm. what everyone was doing on YouTube. Like, that was very popular. And now it's not really. Like, even the most popular comedy channels don't do as well as, like, you know, Minecraft channels
and
or whatever.
The type of comedy is much more stripped down now than it used to be. The much more polished, produced comedy that Smosh was doing. And that's, I think they're trying to do that polished comedy. And now you've got guys like Man Carrying Thing, who's just, it's as stripped down and minimal as it can get. And I think it's hilarious the way he does it. What you do, same that kind of thing. It's a stripped down comedy. It's all about the dialogue, really.
Yeah. Well, I think, especially when you are, so I think there's a dividing line. And what that, and I'm like kind of making up this hypothesis on the spot. So
roll with it.
For people like me and Jake at Man Carrying Thing, we're playing all the parts. And so that suddenly, just that element alone breaks any kind of, you know, believability of it. So then there's like almost no point in going high production value because right. of that very basic thing. But then when you have YouTubers where they have other actors with them, whether it's just their friends or they're paying people, it starts to look weird when it's low production value because it's like, well, you have all these other people, like, can't you make it look more real? Mm-hmm. And I think that, because I've seen a kind of a split where there is some, there's a lot of comedy on YouTube that is like bare bones, someone in their room. It's like clearly not any kind of semblance of reality. But then other people who go really high production value, like there's one channel called Viva La Dirt League, which I'm sure has some kind of origin somewhere that makes them as popular as they are, because I don't know how it could just be a YouTube channel, but they get millions of views every time and it's extremely high production value. It looks like a TV show. And, you know, with stuff like the stuff that's really popular on YouTube, having all the money in it, I feel like there is some element of comedy that does well if it's clear that there's a lot of polish on it. But it's like there's the uncanny valley of if you haven't got enough polish, then it just looks bad. So it's better to kind of err on the side of I'm in my room with a camera.
In the Smosh example, though, I've never seen some channel drop from within 10 videos. They went from 10 million views on that video where they're like, we're back, and it was shebang, to like 500,000 views on a video, which obviously is kind of returning to that pre-announcement.
And that's a channel with like over 20 million subscribers.
Yeah.
And we talked about it on the podcast. It's like, here's a great example, or here's a great opportunity for them to get together and try something new, try to whatever, especially because they have 22 million existing subscribers who have literally grown with them. So they were appealing to them at a certain age with a certain type of content. And now we've kind of come full circle. We're connecting again, and they're still kind of doing that content for that same demographic without maybe totally respecting their audience. The biggest kick in the face is that Anthony literally went off to do a standalone YouTube channel for like 2 years where he like interviewed YouTubers.
Everybody.
And he went on like, he actually, yeah, did like really in-depth, interesting stuff, and people flooded to the channel and he gained business. He got way more traction off of that because it's like, great, this is Anthony from Smosh, but this is where he is now. There was this great opportunity for them to come together and it's like, let's see what they would do. But it's like, they just kind of did the shticky Smosh stuff. But perhaps they were in a position where, because millions of dollars were involved and investors and da da da. So now even now, I guess maybe if they wanted to do that, they couldn't. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a really good point there, because it's like people do want to see you do like grow. They don't want to see you kind of do the same thing.
But not too fast and not too drastic.
Well, yeah, they want. Yeah, so that, and it, I guess it depends on the niche also, but regardless of the niche, even if they're not watching you personally grow, they want to see like something develop with your craft, you know? And that's something I've thought about too, where it's like, I'm kind of doing the same. For a while, I was doing the same exact thing all the time. And then I realized, like I've got a family now. I'm married. I have a kid. And why am I making stuff about like being a depressed single person. You know, it's like, it's like maybe I think, you know, maybe it's funny, maybe it's still relatable, but then there's the element of the audience thinking, well, why are you doing, like, why are you the person saying this now? And I've heard about other YouTubers, like especially the people who came up 10 years ago, and they kind of slowly lost relevance because they were doing the same thing over and over again, and their audience outgrew them and was like, hey, why aren't you doing anything different? But then you always see like the exception where there's someone who has been doing the exact same thing for the past 5 years and the audience still eats it up. And it's like they just do it so well that that's what the audience comes to expect and that's what they want to see. And it's a judgment call. Like, how do you know as a creator, should I just keep doing the same thing over and over again? Or do they want to see me like branch out, challenge myself, challenge them, you know, extend myself beyond my abilities, that kind of thing. It's hard to know.
Well, it seems like you've got the right approach where you're just like tossing in these videos that are just for you and just kind of, you know, see what sticks.
Yeah. None of them stuck, but.
Well, see, in 5 years, those will be the nostalgic videos.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and one thing with the throwing things out there to see what sticks and experimenting is I saw an interview on one of those shows, maybe it was Colin and Samir or something, one of the YouTube interview shows, maybe it was the editing podcast, I forget, but a YouTube guy, someone from the, who works at YouTube was like, if you're going to experiment, you can't just do it once. You have to like commit to experimenting like 3 or 4 times with whatever format you're doing before you can really determine if it's going to work or not, which makes sense because one time the algorithm doesn't know what to do with it. Maybe even 2 or 3 times the algorithm doesn't know what to do with it. But if it were to catch on the 3rd or 4th time, then those other videos, if the experiment is a success, would also catch on late because of that video. So that's another thing that I've changed my thinking on when it comes to growing and developing and experimenting is not to just experiment randomly if I had no intention of ever following it up with like 3 more videos, and even if the first one bombs. So that's a little tidbit I thought I'd throw out there.
That is pretty interesting.
Yeah, don't know if it'll help anyone, but don't know if it'll help me, but it's something, it's a change because I used to like, experimenting was like touching a hot stove, and if I got burned, I'd get away.
Avoided at all costs.
Yeah, whereas now it's like, be more, you know, be smarter about the experiments so that you're willing to follow up even if they're not doing well.
Do you watch a lot of comedy channels?
Not a lot. Like, in general, I don't consume a ton of YouTube just because I don't have the time. But I do. There are a few channels that I dip into every once in a while to see like what's going on. And that, I don't know. Like, I feel like kind of out of the loop when it comes to any kind of community on YouTube, like in terms of other creators. It would be nice to feel like all the comedy channels kind of fed off of each other and had, you know, a little friendly competition and inspired each other. And maybe there are some that do that, but I don't feel like if that exists, I am not part of it. But I do, you know, sometimes I will see stuff that other people do and I'm like, okay, that's something I can incorporate. How do they do that? What are they, how are they writing these jokes, etc. But I guess the big thing that I'm trying to keep aware of is like, what have I not seen yet? And let me try to do those things.
Sure.
You know, so when I'm writing a video, when I'm writing a script, when I'm making a video, where is everyone sort of going? Let me try to go somewhere else and see if that is the place that the void that people wanted to be filled that they didn't even know about.
I've been getting into a lot of comedy channels lately. Again, probably just because the algorithm, you start watching one and you start getting fed more and more. But right now I'm really into the Slappable Jerk. I don't know if you've seen this channel or not, but holy shit. This guy is doing something unique. He's making short form content. I'm sure this was originally from TikTok, but I think he's mostly doing it on YouTube now, where he just creates all these really unlikable characters and sort of a lot of cringe comedy.
Yeah.
But it's one of these where he plays all of the characters. But what happened, and I'm sure this all just happened organically. These were all original, just kind of standalone videos. But then he started bringing these characters back and kind of creating this storyline with the different characters interacting with each other from different videos. It was really interesting how, like, he's creating these entire story arcs over the course of maybe 15 videos with these characters. And it's something I haven't seen before on YouTube. Maybe other people are doing it. And now he's starting to add more characters into this mix. And I think it's really cool. It's really funny, really, really hard to watch sometimes, you know, cringe comedy, but it's, yeah. I think it's really good.
And these are shorts.
I think he just does short form.
But he also does ones that are over 60 minutes, but he just uploads them as regular videos, but they're vertical phone videos with the blurred out on the side. But they're like 2 minutes or
right, because I think he brings them over from TikTok or whatever. It has a longer form or longer.
And here's a great example. 330,000 subscribers and launched a video 15 hours ago and it has 35,000 views on it. So, like, it's not so much like this weird, it's the freshness of the audience, it's the like uniqueness of the content, I think is essentially what we're all saying. Like, it ultimately comes down to like doing something different, because we're kind of exhausted from chasing the things to like put our content in, like the frame that we need to put our content in, as opposed to just like, oh no, let's just go.
Well, another thing is that guy's cranking out videos. He's like making one because
he's probably
every
just loving
something.
What he's doing. It probably doesn't seem like a job. He's not sending. I remember sitting at that shorts thing with those triplets, and I've brought this up on the podcast a bunch of times. But they do those triplet TikTok pranks or whatever it is, and like they produce 6 to 10 pieces of content a day. So like just like. That is a struggle, because they're like, oh, what's next to keep the machine going? And we have a team of editors, and then our team of people, and then we have always doing collabs, and we're always doing the thing, and you're always on. So that's where the views are going. The views are kind of being spread out to more people. But it seems to be the people who are going to like stick through this are like, regardless of how big you are, like it'll end up kind of like the cream rises to the top, because it's like, your original idea, or like this is, I'm looking at you, How To Basic. For like 20 years, it's been the exact same thing. And like no one's replicated. No one's tried to even like dare come into that space. And that's why he can still do the same thing.
If you do anything that looks remotely similar to How To Basic, somebody's gonna call you out on that. Like, you're just ripping them off.
Oh yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. The eggs are too expensive. I don't want. I'm not even gonna try to get into that. You know,
iDubbbz is another great experience. Here's a guy who went through just kind of being on top of that mountain, and now going through and cutting back a lot of the content with like disapproval, or like just not wanting that to be, you know, whatever, like, and knowing it from like a really mature standpoint. And him now, as much as I don't really care for him anymore, at least he can say that he's doing the boxing thing. Like, he's where he wants to be, doing what he wants, and he doesn't care about like being the coolest guy on
well yeah
YouTube
you can tell
anymore.
He's at another channel again. I think it's so many of us where the views are just down.
Yeah,
you know? Yeah. Because no one wants, I mean, that was the thing that worked. It worked for a little bit. It doesn't have that lasting appeal. It's too divisive. And, you know, there's times that it doesn't work. Ethan Klein is a great example of a dude who got like at the peak of that channel, having 6 million subscribers and then being like the super couple on YouTube. And he pivots to the podcast.
That's crazy.
He literally has a top 100 podcast. Amazing. and has jettisoned himself into like true kind of whatever that is, celebridium, or like he's
and
there.
Wealth. Yeah.
Big house in LA. Like, he's not even like fronting. Like, he is there. And he made that decision at a time, and he took whatever heat he took, rightfully or wrongfully so. But it was a very wise.
And so many people were so disappointed that he wasn't making YouTube videos anymore. I kind of was too. I'm like, oh man, I liked watching his videos.
It's interesting, because when you were talking about watching YouTube, Frank, it almost seems like you watched clearly more as a creator, getting ideas to fuel your own, as opposed to like purely just kind of like, you don't like just watch YouTube to like consume.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that I really, well, I guess it depends. Like,
do you have like guilty pleasure? Do you have like a... Mine is Antiques Roadshow. I will go on all day about like, oh, you need to always whatever. But if Antiques Roadshow comes on, man, I'll watch Antiques Roadshow.
Yeah, no, I don't. Yeah, most of what I watch on YouTube is either like behind the scenes, inside baseball about YouTube, or stuff where I'm like trying to figure out what is working on YouTube now. And very rarely is it just like, I'll watch this for pleasure. Or even if I do start to watch something for pleasure, I'm like, well, why is this popular? Like, what can I take away from this? I guess the only thing that I purely watch, I guess, just for my own edification is just like interviews with people. You know, that may, that's it's very boring, but you know, just like, you know, interviews with writers, interviews with actors, stuff like that. I'm very into I guess it's like the personality interest that I have going.
Are you
background.
Also trying to kind of pick up ideas for how to interview people by listening to interviewers? And do you listen to interviewers, those kind of shows, differently since you interview people yourself?
That's a good question. Not really. I think, that is funny because that's never even really occurred to me.
Really?
I think what happens is if someone is a bad interviewer, I try to pick out why is this not good. But, other than that, no, it's really just to like pick, you know, like the clips from various interviews. You know, I want to know why did this actor do this thing, or what's the story this person has. And it is interesting when you watch a clip from like Howard Stern or something, someone who is really big and known for interviewing and being really great at it. You're like, okay, well, why is this guy one of the greatest? So you can't take but I've never like, I don't think I've really consciously been asking what makes someone good.
I do that all the time. Chad and I will watch people interview and we're always thinking, what are they doing wrong? What are we doing wrong?
Yeah.
Do you, so Steve, what's, because you watch a lot of YouTube,
Yeah.
Do you watch it? But you don't, of course. You just watch it because you like watching it, right? It's just stuff you enjoy consuming. And you
And again, it kind of goes through different phases of what I'm watching. But like I said, right now, it's a lot of comedy. I just am really enjoying a lot of the comedy YouTube channels, especially some of the newer ones that are just like, where did this come from? And then, you know, I feel like I'm getting in on the ground floor of some of these channels. And I'm like, man, they're gonna be huge someday.
Well, wasn't it Caleb City was at the YouTube event that we went to? Like, he had a little thing and a merch table and all of the rest. Like, he is still, and he's a great example because still doing that very simple brand of like Gus Johnson did it for. Is Gus Johnson still making videos?
Oh yeah,
he is.
He's back. He seems to be doing okay.
He's back.
Yeah, Caleb City is interesting because I think he's one of the best. He has that very simple. It's like sneaky simple because it's just him in his house. He doesn't like put a ton of effort into the scenery or costumes, but like the cinematography, it, even if it's just him like holding the phone in his hand, he really replicates. I think he's very heavily influenced by anime, especially. He replicates the cinematography of that really well. And that really sucks you in to want to keep watching because he's like changing camera angles. He's always getting like the most dramatic whatever. And his acting is, you know, his range might not be the biggest, but he really plays well into what he can do as an actor. And some of the like very subtle facial, like the reactions he has without even saying anything. He's definitely one of the best. I love him.
Yeah, less shtick than kind of Gus Johnson has, where it's like Gus Johnson doing a character, more of an ability just to kind of melt into a character and not it be. Yeah,
so yeah. Gus Johnson is very character driven, and Caleb City is a lot more. It's definitely story, but also there is like an element of spectacle. Like he's also very good at like whatever, like making it visually interesting.
I will never miss a Ryan George video. I love his videos so much. They're really, really well done.
Oh yeah. And he's a good example of someone who before like February of this year, every video he did got like 1 million views after a month or so, and now he's topping out at like 600K on average. And that, I mean, obviously it's like these are anecdotes at this point that we're pointing to, but it's like, okay, that seems like a pretty, you know, significant thing that happened for almost no reason at the same time that I saw something happen. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And he has two channels. He also does
the pitch meetings,
which is kind of where he started. That was on a different channel originally. It was like the screen, was it Screen Junkies or?
Screen Rant.
And then I guess they moved it over to its own channel at some point. And that's, I don't even know if maybe he controls it now. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I wondered why they moved it over. And I wondered if
it was the only thing people were watching on Screen Rant.
Yeah. It made me wonder, like, if they thought Screen Rant's channel would do better or the pitch meetings would do better on its own. But I don't know if I think the views are virtually the same. Nothing's changed on either channel from what
they had different types of content. And everybody was only wanting to watch his videos, not the other stuff they were producing. There's been other channels like that, at least in my sphere. There was the Make channel, which was from Make magazine, and for a long time they would have Jimmy Duresta videos on there, you know him, Chad, and those were the only ones people would watch. And then they would post they would get like, you know, a couple hundred thousand views, and then they would post another video from somebody else making
700
get like under 1,000 views or something. It was like, okay, clearly this is the only thing people want to watch here.
But Ryan George is a great one. He's an example of someone who's kind of done the same thing in the exact same way for a long time, and people love it because he does it so well.
He is a good example of that, because I can't imagine him changing much, really. I don't think he's ever changed really anything. It's like exactly. Well, and maybe that's to your earlier point.
And that's
why the views
are. And that's what you want to say. How to Basic has not changed. I didn't even like do this weird pivot to whatever, like stay true to and is Mr. Beast now just rubbing our face in what obviously does work, and now it just kind of is just blatant, and he gets 114 million views because $1 million car versus $100 billion car. I put a Lamborghini
he
in
cured blindness, like, too, you know.
He is clearly in a position where he could have continued to go down the saving the trees, but he's literally just using it as a fuel to see where this can go. A billion subscribers, like whatever it is, like it almost personifies TikTok, but he's like the figurehead of YouTube, when someone like PewDiePie should be the figurehead of YouTube, like producing the same thing and being consistent and real and going through ups and downs. Mr. Beast really seems to be in a position where he can use this for good, and he keeps doubling down. I'm just to a point where I think it's just, like, it has to end. Obviously, this road needs to stop, and he's, I don't know, going to blow an opportunity.
I think he's got much bigger sights than YouTube. I honestly think he's going to be a politician someday. I'm just throwing that out there. It wouldn't surprise me if at some point he runs for president of the United States.
Yeah. I mean, it is interesting, because I do wonder if, I mean, he's been smart to make business moves, you know, to have these things off of YouTube. But I do wonder, like, as an entertainer, like, where does that go? Because in interviews, he's talked about, like, oh, let me, you know, I'm thinking we could go to Netflix, blah, blah, blah. I just don't know, like, what does he bring to the other mediums that aren't kind of already there, that weren't there on YouTube? You know what I mean? It's like no one had done what he had done on YouTube to that extent. But I feel like once you get into mainstream media, there is a lot of people who've done pretty much kind of the same thing, maybe not with his spin on it, but I just, not to say he can't do it, I'm just curious to see how he would do it.
We've seen how Logan Paul and Jake Paul's a great example of, like, just literally parlaying it into something completely different, and there's been nothing. He's been riding out this 6 years of YouTube grind, like, now it's a, you know, now it sucks. Now no one wants to support, like, all of this grandioseness, and we want to get back to whatever. It just seems like a good time for him to maybe do something.
Keep in mind, YouTube isn't their first thing either. That's an interim thing from, didn't they both get started on the Disney Channel?
Oh, yeah. I think.
You know, they came from that to YouTube. So it wasn't like they were grassroots from the ground up on YouTube. You know, they
by way of Vine.
By way of Vine, more, that's right.
I guess more, yeah, by way of Vine. Right. So they understand the different platforms and bouncing from one to one. But I guess to Frank's point, it'll be interesting to see if there is anything else that he has to offer, because it doesn't seem that. Like, he really seems so, like, 100% all in on YouTube.
He's the face of YouTube, you know?
Yeah.
I don't even know what more to make of it. And I don't know if any other time if YouTube had a face, possibly PewDiePie. But
they didn't want PewDiePie. Like, yeah. They made that very evident. He trends all over the place. He gets 150 million views on his videos. Like, it's in such a different league now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And YouTube really does have the ability to, like, okay, let's, you know, he'll do well just doing his thing. Let's, you know.
God, PewDiePie or Mr. Beast must be making so much money for YouTube.
Oh yeah.
YouTube's got to be.
That's what they're interested in, right? Yeah. It's like the champion of the WWF who goes around and carries the belt with the logo. He's that for YouTube. You know, the more he gets,
I should probably actually watch Mr. Beast videos. I've only seen
you're not missing anything
ever. Or just like clips of them, but I've never really watched his content.
Yeah, I've watched a few, and I mean, they're good.
They are well polished. Like, couple I've seen, I had to watch the Cure Blindness one, and, you know, a couple of the other ones.
Yeah, I think I liked the ones from a couple years ago more. I mean, this is always what commenters say.
I like the early Mr. Beast.
The old Mr. Beast.
You know, when he was a bit more YouTube-y, when it was like, I'm going to bury myself underground for 50 hours or whatever. It's like, that was a really good video. Yeah. Now where it's like he's the host and it's like a competition with other people, I'm a little less interested in that, because it's like I've got reality shows I want to watch that do the same competition kind of stuff. It's like, you know, but when he is more involved, I understand why he does, like, the views go with what he's doing now, so I get that. But and, you know, and when he started off, like, cutting a table in half with a plastic knife or whatever, like, he has a mind for figuring out what's the thing that people are going to say, wow, that's crazy, let me watch it. So that's a skill, is figuring out what's going to get people to just, like, say, oh my gosh, I have to watch this video.
And how sad is it that that it's Lamborghini versus the world's largest shredder? And a big, big smiley Mr. Beast.
I'll put that on my watch later.
100 and...
Man. Anyways, Frank, it was great having you on the show again. We'll have to do this more often.
Yeah. Steve, thanks. I appreciate it. Chad, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. And anytime, I'm happy to come on here and talk YouTube, talk, the meaning of life. We didn't get around to that today, but I'm sure next time we could touch on that, you know.